It's time for the Cheap and Chaz Power Half Hour. Welcome one, welcome all to the best and only fantasy podcast that focuses on our league of record. Chief, how you doing tonight?
A little tired from the covering the Wolves game and Jimmy Butler drama, but otherwise I'm doing all right. How are you, Chaz?
I've been doing good. It's been a long week. We're recording this on a Friday night. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We're at least for me, I'm officially recording this Saturday morning at 12:07 a.m.
Hopefully people get to listen to this in time. Sorry, again for the late podcast.
I'm going to drop it as soon as we're done recording. I'll edit it up and get it out there. So it'll be available by tomorrow morning for people that want to listen. So.
Hopefully Mike maybe picks it up on the West Coast and listens to it as he falls asleep. Anybody who's up in the middle of the night with their kids potentially turns it on to put them back to sleep.
Yeah, why not?
We're sleep inducers or what's – I don't even know. We're very soothing. We're very soothing.
Yes. Our voices are very soothing because who doesn't want to listen to us?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
I think somebody floated the idea of me doing a lullaby podcast, like reading out like sonnets or poems at the end of the night to get somebody to go to sleep.
I wouldn't mind that. I would like that.
Yeah. I don't hear it in my own voice, but again, my voice is to me, I hate listening back to recordings of my own voice. Like I assume most people are, but for me, it's particular because in my head, my voice is much higher than the one I hear, and I listen to that and I go, why does anybody like listening to my voice at all? But
we all hate the sound of our own voice. That was not helped by the fact that kids used to make fun of it growing up, but then when we got to college, John Thompson used to make fun of it mercilessly. My voice has never been a strong feature to me.
I feel the opposite. I like your voice. I feel like you have a strong voice. I feel like you have a good voice, not only in your writing, but it comes across in your tone and when I hear you speak. Even when you played that clip for us when you were on the radio show a couple weeks ago, I thought you sounded really good.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've actually when I go on the radio anymore, I'm very conscious of how I sound.
Right.
And I want to make sure I'm articulate, that I speak clearly, that I try not to rely on the crutches of speech that we usually have, you know, phrases like, you know, or like, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. Or in doing ums. I tend to do a decent amount, which I'm trying to work on and eliminating that from my vernacular when I talk on the radio or on TV or something like that. So it's something that I consciously try to work on.
Yeah, no, I just did it right there. Right. I said,
We all do it.
I am very cognizant of it for me, especially being in sales where I'm in front of people speaking a lot. It happens for me as well. It's okay to have like the natural break word as long as it's not overpowering what you're talking about, because people need to have those natural space inducers to be able to, in order to actually process, you know, what you're saying to them. It's okay to have that as long as it's not overpowering.
Very true. Very true. Yeah.
Okay. So let's just briefly, like, let's say 30 seconds. Let's just talk about Rivalry Week. Rivalry Week went horribly for me. It went okay for you, I'd say.
It went bad for me overall, but I did pick up a few tiebreakers, which is helpful.
That's why I said it went okay rather than it went great, right? Because at the end of the week, at the end of the year, tiebreakers are going to be so important, especially with the way things are starting to break out in these last few wins. And as you said yourself, you needed, what, two of your last five wins to feel comfortable, and even though you didn't get one, you picked up the tiebreakers.
Two of my five matchups, I felt like against Joe, Tim, and Mike. Coming into week six, I feel like I needed two. Now I feel like I need three. I don't know how that's going to work itself out.
Fair enough. Any other thoughts from either week? Did anything jump out and surprise you? I mean, I felt like for the most part, things were pretty chalk.
Yeah, it was chalk. I
Jake's
guess
team, holy cow, where'd that come from?
it appeared like, well, he's got depth now. He hit on some of his running backs. They're starting to emerge. And so his team is really coming on strong. I think it seemed to be one of the lower scoring weeks we've had. A lot of teams in the 80s, which is unusual for this season. So I wonder how it affects the overall average and point total when it comes to setting that record this year. Yeah, I'm looking. We had one, two, three, four teams in the 80s. We had one, your team didn't get out of the 70s. Tim and I were below 100. So right there, that's over half the league that didn't break 100 last week. So weird week, weird week.
And then I feel very unfortunate for my paramour and Kat. She had a great scoring week, but obviously, my
Tough, and
team just seems.
especially in a week like that where everybody was low scoring, Cat just happens to run into the
The
steamroller
buzzsaw.
that is Mike. Yes.
All right, so let's talk about this week. I
Well,
think I.
I got to hand out my bad decision
Oh,
award,
sure.
Chaz.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
The new feature that we have started on this podcast, or I should say resurrected on this podcast.
Yep, go for it.
And I was just perusing the. Just perusing the rosters, and I know, there's we have a lot of Bears fans in this league, obviously, and I think for the most part they do a good job of divorcing their Bears fandom from their fantasy competitiveness.
Sure,
I
I would
feel
agree.
like a lot of times they know who's good and who's bad, but I really feel like. In this one particular instance last week, Tim let his Bears fandom get in the way of a potential fantasy victory. So here's what happens. Tim, first of all, benches Tom Brady in favor of Jared Goff. Brady ends up with 21.5 points, and Goff ends up with 16 points. So a 5.5 point difference right there, right? Well, that's not so bad. I mean, Goff versus Brady. Goff had a great matchup against San Francisco. I could see the logic there. Where Tim lost me this week was the combination of not only starting Goff, but also starting Aldrick Robinson as one of his receivers. And what did Mr. Robinson do? One catch for 4 yards. If Tim ends up moving Calvin Ridley into his number three wide receiver spot and starts either Nyheim Hines or Josh Doctson, the great Josh Doctson in his flex, and he starts Brady. Well, he either gets, let me check at the math here. So got Brady outscores Goff by 5.5 points, Doctson outscores him by five. Tim actually ends up with a tie with Joe this week
And then
if he started Doctson.
that I mean, a tie at this point is it
A
can be just
tie
as good
is
as a
significant. A tie
just as
is
good
very
as a win
significant.
when it comes to tiebreakers.
Yep. So, and he robbed us the joy of a tie. I mean, everybody loves a tie.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't love a tie? It's so weird to have a tie, and it's oddly entertaining when there's a tie. So, Tim, for robbing us of the joy of having a tie and for letting his Bears fandom blind his fantasy competitiveness, Tim gets the You Got a Bad Decision award this week. So the LaBarges are 2 for 2 this year in this award. Congratulations.
Well, from the mouth of Babe, sorry, LaBarges. I mean, I get it that you have a new baby and you have a new dog, but you got the bad decision award, so boo on you, right?
That's right.
Okay, so let's get into this week's matchup, and I want to start with us because this week is Chief, not Anchaz. It's Chief versus Chaz.
Watch out, everybody. Here we go.
Yeah. Now, I've gone ahead and ceremoniously changed my name because obviously my previous name was not doing anything for me. As soon as Mancuso tonight uttered the phrase that told us about his son calling him a mook, I knew I had to co-opt that. So this week it's going to be the Hungry Hungry Hino going up against the legend of the Mook. So that's that is my new christened team name that I'll be going with moving forward.
Well, let's see how that works out for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is it's a tough week. I have Zeke on a bye. You know, my hope is that David Johnson returns to form with the firing of whatever his name was. I don't care anymore.
Mike McCoy.
And them having the new guy step in who was there previously under Arians, and hopefully him understanding that, hey, David Johnson should catch some balls. And also, how about you not run him straight up the middle? I saw a chart. And I don't remember where, but it was a chart where it was an overlay of all of David Johnson's runs last week, and then it was also Melvin Gordon's. And you saw them side by side. Melvin Gordon's got, you know, stretch plays, getting outside runs. Like 80% of David Johnson's runs last week were up the middle. Like, it was insane. Like, they were all just going in between the tackles, like up the line. It's like, why are you not getting this guy in space? So my hope is that maybe we get a little bit of old school 2016 Johnson this week, which maybe gives me a small chance. I did go ahead and pick up the Seahawks defense against Detroit. So I will be swapping them in for that Minnesota defense, because I'm just hoping for a shootout in that game. You know, given that right. I've got Cousins, and I'm probably going to end up going with Treadwell. So I'm hoping for a shootout, and maybe that stack will maybe give me the edge.
It's a smart play. Mike McCoy was just awful. It was painful to watch Arizona Cardinals games. I mean, and you got a good matchup this week against the banged up Niners, who don't have anybody right now. Everybody's hurt. You know, and if the New Orleans game does turn out to be a shootout, you know, Cousins could put up 25, 30, maybe. I could see that happening. You know, God forbid if he threw a touchdown to Laquon Treadwell. I think if that happens on Sunday, well, actually, that'll be the late game, so I won't be able to concede. You know, maybe I'll still concede anyway, even if I'm not big, if Laquon Treadwell catches a touchdown.
Maybe we'll have both Quans. We'll have Laquan and we'll have Traquan scoring touchdowns this weekend.
That's right. I see you're trying to bring back Buck Allen in the revenge slot after I dropped him last week.
I was surprised that you dropped him. I wouldn't have. And
the
I
last really... the last few weeks he's really he's trended downward. His touches are down.
That's fair.
His snaps are down.
That's
and
fair.
You know, I know the moment it happened too. A few weeks ago, I think it was when they were playing the Browns. He fumbled.
Right.
And the one reason why he was getting so many touches over Alex Collins was because he was good in ball security. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the reasons why they would throw to him in the passing game, why he was getting so many snaps, why he would get goal line work. And then he goes and fumbles and loses the fumble. So right then I was like, oh man, like, why did he have to fumble? And I was like kind of hoping that his production wasn't going to go down as a result. And sure enough, the next 2 weeks, his touches have gone down. His snaps have gone down. And I was just like, I'm bailing on this guy. Like, I can't afford to do this anymore. So I bailed on him. And...
Okay. I mean, hey, that's fair. You know, I saw him. I figured, you know, he's better than most of the players on my team anyway. He's definitely better than Jesse James. So I'll pick him up. I'll play him. I'll see what happens. You know, I got to roll with Duke Johnson. You know, I would have played Robbie Anderson had he looked like he was going to go, or even Mike Williams, but he's on bye. So basically my choices this week were Snead. There's no way in hell I'm touching out for Morris right now.
Yeah.
Or Javoris, and so I went with him, and I was very happy about this. I did sneak him away from Mancuso, who also attempted to pick him up. But unfortunately, he put in a $0 bid, and because of my team so horrible, I had better waiver wire, even though I also bid $0. So I had the priority, so I snuck him from Mancuso. So small moral victory there.
Yeah, I just don't think there's anything there anymore. So Thursday night, I got off to a good start, and all I saw was Hopkins' second touchdown.
Yep.
I happened to be in a bar and looked up and saw the 1 yard score. Weird game because Watson only threw like what 20
yeah.
passes.
Yep.
Very weird. But they still scored 42 points.
Just
that's a weird game.
At one point, four of his passed like seven passes, went for touchdowns. So it was just, what we're seeing now with Watson getting back to being healthy, we're seeing that the running game is working, the threat with Lamar Miller. Because don't forget, last year when Watson was on fire, Lamar Miller put up points. He was a decent option. And as
It's
long as
one of
they
the reasons
have
why
that,
I tried targeting Lamar Miller in the draft this
yeah.
year because I thought he was a buy low.
Exactly. And as long as he's
Yeah.
doing it, Watson's gonna be able to find some running room. He's gonna be able to have some passing. I think the offensive line blocked very well last night. Big ups to our boy Nick Martin at center. Hopkins is one of those guys where he's super frustrating to both play against and own because basically through three quarters, he had like up 2.5 points. And then just all of a sudden, like three catches later, he's got two touchdowns and like 80 yards. It's frustrating. And for me, it's particularly bittersweet. This week, I happen to be playing Hopkins, which I guess is like not the worst way it could be. I happen to be playing Hopkins in this league and in my family league. So I'm playing Kat this week and she owns him in my family league. However, I own Hopkins in two of my other leagues that I'm playing. I play in five total leagues right now. Two of them are Dynasty. And I have him in a Dynasty and a redraft league. That I also play in. So it's bittersweet for me. I'm more rooting against him. I was rooting against him this week because this league and my family league are more important than my dynasty league and the other leagues that I'm in. But it's bittersweet, and I don't know. I know some people in the group are only part of this league, Mancuso, but I know some people are part of multiple leagues, and I'm just curious to hear other people's feelings on, if you have multiple teams and both owning and not owning players and having them all happen at the same time, where you have to simultaneously root for and against the player.
Well, I'm in three leagues myself,
Okay.
and I could say from experience that I generally don't care anymore about my opponent's players.
Okay.
Even in our league, I more care about my particular team. So if I'm facing a guy in like so let's say I'm facing a guy in our league, but I have him in my other two leagues, like Emmanuel Sanders, for instance, right? Well, I went up against Joe last week, and he had Emmanuel Sanders, but I have Emmanuel Sanders in my two other leagues,
Right.
and he had a great game. And while I was a little disappointed in our league, I was actually more disappointed in that Joe had the Broncos defense than
Right.
I was that Sanders went off, because I knew Sanders going off meant that my other teams were off to a good start. I've learned to stop obsessing over my opponent's players because there's nothing I can do about it. Like, I can't control how they're going to do. I can't, well, and I also can't control how my players are going to do. I just hope that they go off. So I hope that even if I'm playing somebody in our league, that they end up having a decent to good game, because then it means my other teams are strong as well. I guess I've just learned to let it go over time.
Gotcha. I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. I think for me, I've always erred towards, if there's players that I really, really like, I definitely try and make sure I own them in multiple leagues. But then if there's other players I think have high upside, I'll try and diversify. But I always do try and make sure that I have at least a share of all the top line players. So between my five leagues, I own Zeke, Johnson, Kamara, Gurley. Like basically the only t the only two guys I don't own would be Gordon and McCaffrey. So at least that way, in that same vein, as long as they're going off, I'm benefiting in some way. But yeah, I mean, it definitely takes a little bit of, for me, it's a little bit of this thing of like, okay, like I might be just happily playing against that person that week, like in this case. So it's a little bit bittersweet, but at the same time, it's probably going to leave me, it gives me a good start in my other league. So it's an interesting take. I'm curious, please give us your comments in the group chat once you hear this, kind of how you feel about this.
For sure. All
All
right,
right.
off to our next matchup. What do you got?
I got they're newly renamed, and this will only make sense to you if you've watched The Good Place, Jake Jordals against the Weapons of Mass Production. So thank you, Kat, for renaming your team. I appreciate that. A week late, but whenever you want to do it, it's fine. You had a great start with Will Fuller. It sucks that he's now has the ACL injury, so you're gonna have to replace him. But at least he had a final great game for you. It's again a little bittersweet in that you were going up against Deshaun Watson, who had just a monster game. So you're definitely behind the eight ball, even though you had Will Fuller go off. You know, it's weird. I hate
Gelch's not
team.
too far behind the eight ball, though. Not
Not
too
too
far behind.
far. But anytime a quarterback puts up 30 points, even though I know we're averaging 20 points right now, anytime
well,
the
just
opposite
we'll
quarterback
just
puts
we'll
up
just
30
think
points, it
about
puts them in a good place.
we'll just think about what if Fuller only had 10 points, but Watson had 20. You know, it's all relative. You
It is
know,
all relative.
so
I'll give you that. You know, I hate Gelch's team because I feel like he just keeps catching these freaking breaks where, okay, Cooper's gone. So now Jordy Nelson is basically the de facto one there. Believe it or not, Cole Beasley, as horrible as people think he is, he's been solidly consistent. And he has been the most targeted receiver when Dak Prescott's been under pressure this year. He has like 40% target share when Prescott's under pressure. So he's got these
Stop.
Players that, you know,
Go ahead.
They're gutting it out. They're players that are going to find ways to get them points.
Gelch was trying to sell me Cole Beasley and some trade talks this week, and I was not having much of that. I am aware that he's very highly targeted, but still pass. Yeah, well, this is what Gelch does, Chaz. This is what happened, you know, each of the last two times that he won the title. He lucks out. He ends up winning, you know, a few matchups that he probably, you know, had no business winning, like he kind of did last week against you, where he scores on the 80s and he wins.
Yep.
That happened in each of his last two title runs, it propelled him to victory. So I'm interested to see how this might happen this year. Now, I happen to think that Jake's team is better and Jake's got a game up in the standings. But Gelch is, he's 3-4, so he's also back in the wild card mix, only a game back with, you know, people like me and Johnny at 3-4. So we'll see what happens. I like where Cat's team is at, though, right now. I like it's looking okay. You know, we'll see what happens with Chubb. He could be in line for a big day this week. Wentz has a tough matchup against the Jags, although I am benching the Jags defense in our matchup. Something's not right there.
Okay.
They're just not as dominant as they once were. I have the Redskins going against the Giants
this
week.
I think that's
fair. And it's close. Like the ESPN ranks, you know, for instance, have them right next to each other in the rankings, like 7 and 8. So
right.
I'm going to go with how terrible the Giants offensive line is and hope the Redskins get a couple sacks. But anyway, yeah, I think this is going to be a close one. I still give the nod to Cat ever so slightly, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, see, I very much like Cat's team. I just have to give the nod to Gelch. You know, he does have the issue where he had two wide receivers on Oakland, and now he's two wide receivers on the Cowboys. You know, that does suck, but you know,
Cowboys are on bye this week.
They are on bye this week, but he ends up getting Royce Freeman gets hurt, so now he doesn't have to play the who's going to get the hot hand this week. He can start Lindsay, no question there, and also he benefits from Fuller going down with Kiki. Obviously, Kiki was hurt this week, but assuming he comes back to full strength, Kiki is probably going to be slotted in as the number two wide receiver
right.
behind Hopkins. So again, Gelch benefiting from just some basic, you know, luck of the draw of what's happening. So I feel like I have to give him the nod this week. Even with, you know, obviously Beasley's on bye, so he's going to have to put in probably.
I'm looking at his bench, Chaz, and
no, who can he put in?
No,
he can't put
no,
anybody
no,
in.
He can't. He can't put anybody in.
He's
either going
to
have to
up.
Take a zero. I mean, he could intentionally take a zero if he wants.
No, he's not going to do that. So now I got to
He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. Here's what's going to happen. He's going to end up dropping Beasley on Sunday afternoon and picking up somebody. He's trying to sell Beasley in trades this week so that he could get somebody so he doesn't have to drop him.
Yeah.
Beasley is going to be the guy he ends up dropping. So Beasley, if you really want him, is going to be back on the waiver wire come Sunday morning. So keep that in mind. That's going to be
enough.
The guy he ends up dropping.
Fair enough. All right. So let's move on. So the next matchup I have is Ryan versus Michael. You know, obviously Ryan had the great game from Kenyon Drake with the running and the receiving touchdown. He's going to need that. He benefits from Powell going on IR and Crowell getting all the touches there. You got to hope that Gronkowski is back to normal. Mike benefits from Cook being out, so he can still run with Murray. Obviously, Gurley is just unstoppable. Gurley has, I think it was 47 more points than the next highest running back. He has like a game and a half's worth more points than the next highest running back right now. He is just
Just absurd.
absurd, right? And so because of that, Gurley basically keeps Mike in every game no matter what. Obviously, that trade with Gelch has benefited him significantly with James White. It's just Mike's team is just on a roll. And maybe Mancuso was right last week. Maybe he's due for a down game. Obviously, he has lost once this year to Gelch of all people. But right now I can't. I look at Ryan's team and I see potential, but I look at Mike's team and I see way more potential. So Mike gets the nod for me, like no question.
Mike is a favorite. Julio was on bye this week, so that makes it a little closer. I think Ryan is on track to give him a game here. Like you said, let's see what happens with Gronk, and Ryan also has Edelman in the lineup. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Isaiah Crowell now that Powell is out, but he is going up against the Bears defense, so a little tricky there. I think this is going to be a close one, but ultimately, Mike, between Gurley and Cam and how good James White has been, I like Mike's chances, and he's got the New England defense going against Buffalo, so sneaky, sneaky good defensive play there. This one's not going to get decided till Monday night, most likely, because Buffalo, New England is the Monday nighter.
I'm curious. We basically make picks every week of who we think's going to win. We should go back, or if someone's open to going back and checking the previous episodes and seeing how right or wrong Chief and I are, and what
Probably very
our
wrong.
win loss. My guess is that we're probably pretty 50-50. All right, so let's move on. So the next one we have is Party Goopers versus Taco. This could be a decision. This could be a bad decision in a row.
Tim
Two in a
sticking
row
with
for
the
Tim.
Miami defense 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Bold, bold.
Yeah. We'll see how that plays out for him, but that could end up earning him another bad decision of the week award.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is not pretty. But the projections have it basically a tie right now. Looking over the rosters,
To me, that feels pretty even.
I think I'm still gonna favor Tim, actually.
Yeah.
Tim, get Aldrick Robinson the hell out of your lineup, please. Just get him out of there. Like there's just please, just get him
Wait, wait, wait,
out.
wait, 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 wait. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Tim doesn't have Aldrick Robinson. I'm just realizing this. He is Allen Robinson. Is that who you're
Oh,
referring
Allen
to?
Robinson. Oh, Jesus. Why am I thinking of Aldrick Robinson?
Yeah, well, because you know what? Because you said that earlier, and I'm like, I thought Aldrick Robinson was on the Vikings, and I thought he scored a touchdown last week. But now that
I
I'm
think
looking at
you
his team, yeah, he's
did.
got Allen Robinson.
Oh,
So.
well, I revoked the bad decision award. Sorry, you can't bench Allen Robinson. Well, in that case, Johnny, my apologies to Tim. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I guess I forgot that Allen Robinson's on the Bears because he actually has done like basically this year.
Yeah,
It's
he's been very
yeah,
hit or
he's been
miss.
very quiet. All right. Well, I take that back. So Johnny still hangs on to the bad decision award. Allen Robinson, meh. Jarvis Landry, that could be decent against Pittsburgh. Although, admittedly, I don't know how Jarvis Landry has done this year.
He's been okay. The problem has been that ever since Baker Mayfield took over, Landry has had fewer and fewer target shares. The person who's actually benefited the most from Baker taking over has actually been David Njoku. His number of possessions and playing has increased significantly week over week, and he's becoming more and more of the main target. So, Landry is going to be similar to what he was in Miami. The difference is I don't see a path for him right now unless he goes off. He's always needed to be that 100-yard, that 100-catch guy. And right now, I don't think he's anywhere on track for that. Right? I mean, so far through the year, he's got maybe 40, maybe So, yeah, I just don't see. I mean, 7-5, 8-4, 5-2. Last week he did have 10. So he had a good week last week, but he's basically been very throughout the week. He was 14 points, 9 points, 16, 11, 9, 2. So he's been inconsistent. He's not been what you wanted him to be when he was in Miami.
Goop is going for the double tight end formation, always a favorite of mine. Currently with Watson and Rudolph at tight end. Excuse me. Although Randall Cobb, I think, is on track to play. So it'll be interesting to see if they insert Cobb into the lineup.
Don't forget Cooper Kupp is there. Is he still disabled? Is he still hurt? Or is he back in fighting shape?
I don't know. I'm...
I know. He's still doubtful. Okay, so maybe he's not ready yet.
As evidenced by my big boner over Allen Robinson there. And I mean the figurative boner, not the literal boner. You could tell how much I've been paying attention to fantasy football this year. So I have no idea if Cooper Kupp is healthy or not. I'm just out of it this year. But anyway, I think I'll give the edge to Tim in that one.
Yeah, I would also agree. I'm going to stick with Tim. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, here's why I forgot that he has Ertz on his team. Ertz has more fantasy points right now than like if he was a wide receiver, he'd be like wide receiver like 9, something like that. So he's been very consistent. So that trade from you for the most part has worked out for him.
It has.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on, we got O'Brien versus Jake. Now this suddenly becomes interesting given that we saw what Jake did last week. Luck all of a sudden is now a top five. He was at number three, right? So he comes out of nowhere from the injury to be top five QB. What's interesting is I saw this stat this week of this person on Reddit in the fantasy football subreddit did this all fantasy boom team and all fantasy bust team. So basically the idea was to pick the best player in the middle of the round, right? First, second, third, fourth, fifth, who would have been the best player to take and who would have been the worst player to take.
Mm-hmm.
Joe has 4 of the first 5 rounds nailed with Kamara, Thielen, because Kamara was the first, Thielen was third, Hill was second, Juju I think was fourth or fifth. So he's got essentially 4 of the 5, if this was a snake draft, 4 of the 5 best players you could have taken if you were picking right in the middle of the league. So, you know, obviously his team speaks for itself and what it's been capable of doing. He just, you know, it's just, you know, every week his projections are lower than they should be. And every week he outperforms. I realize what Jay can do, but I can't not go against my partner in crime for hashtag Team Amazing Race. And my nod is to O'Brien.
Yeah, Jake is definitely a team on the upswing, but I do like Joe on this one. Let's see. I'm curious to see Kamara's usage. He was on. They were on bye last week. The week before was Ingram's first game back, and it was that weird usage game for him. So I think that's a sneaky plot line to watch out for on Sunday night is just how much Kamara gets used. Another thing that's benefiting Joe's team is that Chris Thompson is back in the lineup, and he's, as long as he's healthy, he's effective. So Joe has his number 2 running back shored up for the time being. So I like where he's at. With Jake, he's got probably the best QB situation in the league. Mixon, you know, top 10 back. Kerryon Johnson is coming on, but he still isn't getting goal line work, which is going to limit his value. But otherwise, pretty solid. But I still like Joe because the threat to score 150 or 160 is always there.
Yep, I agree. And then we'll move on to our last matchup, which is Johnny and Mancuso. I feel like Mancuso has cooled a bit.
Yeah, it's his running back situation has really dinged him. He beat me last week, but I think that Mike has passed him out in terms of, like, if we were doing power rankings, Mike's team has passed out Joe's team.
Yeah, it's I would
Joe,
put Joe
for
in the
me, it's
3 to
Joe
5
and
range.
yeah, for me, it's Joe O'Brien and Mike at 1 and 2. I would put Joe O'Brien at maybe at 1 and Mike slightly below it. I think Joe Mancuso is probably number 3 on my list. Because he still has very good receivers, and he's got Kelce, and he's got Rodgers. So I mean, that configuration right there is gonna help you win. But yeah, he just struggles at running back right now, and it's very hard to make a trade for a running back right now. It's you don't want to give up some of these receivers and get back a running back who is going to be maybe inconsistent, whereas you're trading away potentially consistent production in, Gelch want in trade talks that we were having this week, Gelch wanted Robert Woods for Beasley and Chris Carson. And I was like, no. Yeah, I've Robert Woods is a top 10 wide receiver right now, and he's been really consistent every week, like around 15 to 20 points every week. And I'm not going to give that up for Cole Beasley, who had one catch 3 weeks ago for like 9 yards, and Chris Carson, who's running behind the terrible Seattle offensive line. It's just very hard. That's not really to knock Gelch. It's not like it was an unfair offer. But it just goes to show you how difficult right now it is to try and trade for any kind of running back.
Well, I mean that's always the way it goes, right? RB is always scarce as you get further into the season. That was part of my reasoning for wanting to go three big running backs out of the gate, knowing that at number one, if I had to trade one of them, I probably could easily trade them. Obviously, that hasn't worked out for me as well as I thought, given that I have to basically keep Zeke and Johnson. I've entertained some offers, but it's people trying to trade me depth, which is not what I need right now. I need top end guys if I have any shot of making playoffs. Depth's not going to really do it for me. So it's just always the way it is. And obviously you have the unpredictability, right, which plays into it. We'll go back and we'll see at the end of the year. But as I mentioned, as I've mentioned multiple times, usually half of the first round running backs as they're drafted don't produce that value, which it feels like we're trending for that. So, it's just one of those things where you gotta hope you can find somebody at the right moment in time to make the trade. Obviously, we encourage trading, but I think given the current standings, the way things are with two or three of those playoff spots being only a game or two out, I think people are cinching the belt a little bit and trying to see if they can power through. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a couple of trades happen right before the deadline, as things sort of come into focus and people realize that they either have to go for it, take a shot, or people that are going to say, I just don't want to be, the loser. I don't have to deal with my punishment for our punishments for the first time this year, because that could also be a reason for somebody wanting to make a trade at the lower end, is just to try and keep themselves out of the sacco, if you will.
Yeah, I hear you there. I think there's going to be activity eventually, like you said. It changes so much week to week. It's just been hard right now. But I do think you're right. I think we'll see some activity before the deadline for sure.
All right, so I mean, I think that covers all our matchups. Obviously, my nod this week is the Johnny. Who are you going to pick, Mancuso or Johnny?
I'll take Joe.
Okay, fair enough. So we're split there. So that's everything that we had for this week. I think there's anything else that you wanted to kind of talk about?
Nope, I'm all set.
Okay, well, we kept it nice and tight. I think we're currently running at about a little over, but that's okay.
A little over,
A
that's all
little
right.
extended edition. So hopefully you guys can listen. I'll get this out. This will be dropped in the next 15 minutes or so. And obviously, good luck to us tonight as we play Navy. Obviously, they're not the best team this year, but you never. I need to give
Just
you
hope
a
that
now
everybody gets out of this game
and
healthy.
healthy.
That's the
Yep,
only
that's the biggest
thing.
thing. Our biggest problem is the next week. I saw topic post on the Notre Dame football subreddit today, and it was about why the Notre Dame Navy is like the best rivalry. It's like I get the pageantry of it, but I am personally of the opinion that we should not be playing Navy every year. I believe they should be in the rotation every few years. But given just the issues with playing the option, and especially the way they obviously they block with their cut blocks, and typically the way we've played the week after. So for me, I'm not really so much worried about winning this game. I'm worried about winning next week when we're coming back after traveling, coming back after playing the option, after potentially getting hurt and readjusting. Next week's game is a much bigger concern for me, but we will
see. Yep, I'm with you there.
All right, well, until next time, remember to rate, subscribe, and we'll see you next time on Cheap and Chaz Power Half Hour. Thanks.